وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. واستقم كما أمرت ولا تتبع أهواءهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International. At the end of the 24th para, Allah's perfect justice was mentioned, due to which no one will be oppressed on the day of Qiyamah. At the beginning of the 25th para, we are informed that the knowledge of the exact date of Qiyamah is only known to Allah. People will be involved in buying, selling, and personal enjoyments when suddenly Qiyamah will take place. On this day, Allah Ta'ala will question the mushrikeen, where have my partners gone which you used to worship? They will, with great regret, answer that today they do not have any such individual who they can declare to be a partner of Allah Ta'ala. At the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala promises His servants that He will inform them of secrets in the universe and in man himself. When these secrets open up, then every person will know that this is a book on truth. Allah's promise is true, and for the past 1400 years, this promise is being fulfilled. Such discoveries are being made in man and the universe, which people of the past could not ever imagine. This is an era of discoveries, investigations, and inventions. No day passes without some new investigation or discovery being brought forth. Whoever thought that man will reach the moon and that they can go around the earth, it did not even cross anyone's mind that the voice of the people of the east would reach the people of the west and vice versa. Nobody even ever would have thought in the past of a cell phone revolution. At one time, man regarded the sun as the greatest object of the universe, thus prostrating before it. Today we learn that the sun we see is only a small globe in the universe. There are many millions of suns present like it. Man has gone into the depths of the oceans and rivers. He has seen what is hidden in its depths. Man has learned a lot regarding his body, his makeup, his specialities, and the secrets and mysteries of his body. Many things have been unveiled regarding man's psychology. However, just in spite of all this, can any person claim that he knows every fine detail of the universe and man? And can anyone claim that he has reached perfection in scholarly research and scientific progress? No other religious book besides the Quran can keep up with the speed of the knowledge and research. So this proves the everlasting miraculousness of the Quran. This is not a material miracle like the staff of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and the flying carpet of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. This is a literal and intellectual miracle and has been revealed for an intellectual era. As man's knowledge increases, the truthfulness of the Quran will open up more and more to him. A time will come when every person of knowledge who is not bigoted will submit himself in front of the noble Quran, inshallah. Then the next surah that was recited tonight, and just to remind you, the 24th Tarawih and the 25th Para was recited. So is Surah Shura, and he discussed theoretical issues as well. And immediately after commencing the surah with the huruf muqatta'at, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is addressed. In this way, Allah, who is all powerful and all wise, sent down revelation to you and those before you. So the fountainhead of revelation has remained one for both the early and latter day generations. So after mentioning the grandeur and greatness of Allah in between, the Quran and revelation is again discussed. And in this way, we have revealed to you a Quran in the Arabic language so that you may warn the inhabitants of the big city that is Makkah Mukarramah and those around it. To give more emphasis to the topic of Risalat and Prophethood, we are informed that by Allah, there is one deen. All the Anbiya came to this world to invite to one deen. Even though all the Sharia's were different, their deen was one, that is Islam. Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Musa, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam were sent into this world with this call and invitation. And their followers were severely warned not to cause disunity. However, the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book, became involved in disunity only due to jealousy and obstinacy. To remove their differences and dissension, and to make them hear the decisive judgment, Allah Ta'ala sent our master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and commanded him, invite towards this deen and hold firmly onto it as you have been commanded. Hold firm onto it, do not follow the whims and desires of those people, and say to them, I believe in the book that Allah Ta'ala has revealed. As the surah progresses, its relationship with revelation and risalat becomes clearer. Besides the theme of wahi, revelation and risalat, prophethood, the mind is also directed towards the proofs and universal signs of iman in this material world. So the following distinguishing qualities of the people of iman are mentioned. They have trust on the Rabb. They have trust on their Rabb. They abstain from major sins and acts of shamelessness. When they are angered, they forgive. They are obedient to Allah. They are punctual with Salah. They do their work with mutual consultation. They spend in the path of Allah from the wealth which Allah has given them. If anyone oppresses them, then they retaliate in a befitting manner. So if the Muslims of today create these qualities in themselves, then they can prepare the road of change in their individual and social lives. In the last two verses, mention is made of wahi, it's revelation, and risalat, prophethood. Just as the surah commences, so does it terminate. Then we go on to the recitation of Surah Zukhruf. And it is called Zukhruf because this world is mentioned in the surah, which means gold and beauty. The theme of the surah is the principles of deen. This surah, as with the other surahs, begin the Hamim surahs begin with mentions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enduring miracle. That is the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala takes an oath on this illuminating and clear book and says, we have made it a Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. And verily, the Quran is an original book, Lawh-e Mahfuz, by us, and it has great virtue and wisdom. The surah also discusses one extremely despicable belief found during the days of ignorance. On one side, their psychology was such they had severe hatred for daughters. If a daughter was born to them, then they would hide their faces from the people and would think of ways to bury the small child alive. On the other hand, they would ascribe daughters to Allah Ta'ala and would regard the angels to be the daughters of Allah Ta'ala. So Surah Zukhruf makes mention of the father of the Anbiya, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, regarding whom the Mushrikeen claim that they were on his Sharia and Millat, his religion. So this claim is refuted. With what face do these devotees of idols claim to be followers of his Sharia, whereas he was a flag bearer of Tawheed, whilst these people are drowned in the filth of idol worship from head to toe? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left this kalima of Tawheed for his progeny. When Khatamun Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited the Mushrikeen to the same kalima, they began calling him a magician and his call magic. Their idea of a messenger of Allah was based on great ignorance and foolishness. And they said, why has the Quran not been revealed upon any great person from the two cities? Did Allah only find a poor man and an orphan to make a Nabi? Why did he not choose any leader from amongst the leaders of Makkah and Taif? So these are answered, and the crux of which is that they do not have any choice in the means of their livelihood, and they are not fully in control of their own sustenance when they do not have any choice in the distribution of sustenance. Then how can they be given the choice of choosing and distributing such a lofty position as Nubuwwat? Thereafter, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's incident is mentioned, which gives a glimpse and portrayal of the foolishness and ignorance of the mushrikeen. Firaun had lots of pride over his authority, wealth, and his freedom. So he regarded himself as the true owner of the lands and the rivers of Egypt. He looked at Musa alayhi salam with eyes of contempt. It so happened that he was drowned in those very rivers which he felt could not flow without his permission. And at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala states, commanding his messenger to turn away from the ignorant and to be patient. Ignore them and say salam to them. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They will soon come to know. Then Surah Dukhan was also recited, and Dukhan means smoke. This surah is called Dukhan because mention is made in it of smoke, which the mushrikeen thought they were seeing during a drought due to severe hunger. And in the beginning of the surah, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath of the Kitab al-Mubin, the clear book. This book is clear with regards to its miraculousness and with regards to explain its laws and its subject matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath saying, we have revealed it on a blessed night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylati mubarak. This refers to Laylatul Qadr, which is the most virtuous night. Allah Ta'ala has revealed this book due to His mercy, because Allah Ta'ala is not in need of our worship. The demand of Allah's nurturing is that He does not deprive His servants of guidance. However, the mushrikeen and disbelievers were in doubt regarding the Quran and life after death. The Fir'auns and tyrants of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time are warned of the result of Fir'aun, who opposed Musa in his kingdom. He had plenty of gold, an abundance of gardens, plenty of palaces, gold mines, thousands of male and female servants, and an army consisting of hundreds of thousands. In short, whatever was found in Egypt was his. He regarded himself as owner of every living and non-living object. However, all of this was of no benefit to him. He was drowned in the unmerciful waves of the sea in front of his subjects and those whom he oppressed. And he died saying, Amantu, Amantu, I believe, I believe. Those words could not help him now. Whatever he left back, the Bani Israel inherited. Yesterday's ruled became today's rulers, and yesterday's slaves became today's masters. So, and towards the end of the surah, mention is made of the frightening punishment which the disobedient will have to face, and those bounties which Allah's pious servants will be granted. Such bounties which the small intellect of man cannot encompass. Then we go on to Surah Jathiyah, which was recited, and it's also for Jathiyah means to sit on one's knees. On the day of Qiyamah, people will be on their knees in the court of Allah due to fear and awe. Since this surah mentions this fearful sight, it is called Surah Jathiyah. After mentioning the greatest of the Quran, this surah mentions those signs in the universe of which every single one of them is a living witness to the greatness, grandeur, the power and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. The surah then brings forth the disliked faces of the sinners who do not leave their pride in denial in spite of listening to the divine signs. They pretend as if though they cannot hear it. Besides this, the surah also makes mention of those bounties which Allah Ta'ala granted to the Bani Israel in the form of a book, wisdom, nubuwat, pure sustenance, virtue, and honor over the people of the world. The demand of this was that after being showered with these bounties, they should have chosen the path of humility and obedience. However, they gradually came onto the path of disobedience and sin. So incidents of the past are mentioned to make the disbelievers of Makkah, in fact, the disbelievers of all times, understand the main reason of disbelief and denial, whether it was the disbelievers during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or present times, is that they regard the worldly life as everything. Whereas the Quran emphasizes over and over again, believing in that day when the good and evil people will be given their dues for their actions. The Quran style is somewhat commanding and sometimes advising. Sometimes it has an informative style and sometimes it has a compositional style. Sometimes it comes in a question and answer format and sometimes it draws a picture, as the reciter of the Quran is actually witnessing the scenes of Qiyamah in this very world. At the end of the surah, the style of drawing a scene has been chosen. It seems as if Qiyamah is already taking place. On the plains of resurrection, people due to fear have fallen to their knees. Allah Ta'ala addresses His servants. It is said to them, "You had forgotten the day of Qiyamah. Today you will be forgotten. You used to mock the divine signs. Today you will become the object of ridicule." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the trials and tribulations of the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in the year after. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.